Truth.
You see, Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that loves undivided.
Yup. You either go to church or you're gonna go to hell. Get a job and work or you're gonna go to jail. I just kinda wish we didn't think like that. Why's it gotta be all white or all black? And when we gonna learn to try on someone's shoes sometimes?
That's right.
When we gonna start to see from someone else's eyes?
I think it's time to come together. You and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference. Make world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that we love, undivided. Oh yeah, undivided. Oh yeah.
Welcome back. So before we finish this clip, Melissa Dykes, the characteristics of an initiation ritual. That video was published, YouTube video published April 21st, 2020. Lots of companion material. Weird things are happening. Now we've been through this, you know, traumatic event and are we showing signs of what she describes? There are other, you know, this is to take a bigger picture. Again, you know, going back in time, you have Alice Bailey's Initiation, Human and Solar. Well, it was a received work. Credited to Alice Bailey, right? You could jump on Wikipedia and see that for yourself. Bibliography, the Lucius Trust Publishing Company and the Lucius Press Limited, et cetera, credited to Alice Bailey. Works containing the prefatory extract from a statement by the Tibetan, generally taken to indicate the book was a received work. Alice Bailey, Initiation, Human and Solar, 1922, 100 years ago. Talking about this kind of stuff. An initiation is an expansion of consciousness leading to revelation and illumination. So this is satanic stuff. Aleister Crowley type territory. The work of the planetary hierarchy in its many stages of mastership is outlined in this book, and 14 rules are given by which the neophyte may become an applicant at the portal of initiation. No thanks, no portals for me. Keep your portals wherever they belong in some nether realm. You know, in the externalization of the hierarchy also, you read about this kind of stuff and how part of what was going on in World War I was the noise and the rent or the tear in the space-time continuum. Not my words, the words of the, you know, received work credited to Alice Bailey, the externalization of the hierarchy. The theme of initiation, quote unquote, appears in various relationships throughout this series of books. An initiation is an expansion of consciousness, a means of opening the mind and heart to a recognition of what already exists in reality. As a living process, initiation is experienced by all forms of life, etc., etc. From this somewhat abstract realization, the individual must concretize the process in an effort to perceive and to understand how the diverse and distinct forms of life included in a whole organism perform a vital function. That's interesting. You mean we all become cogs in a machine? We all become worker bees in a hive or ants in a colony? One of the great values of this book is that it does stretch the mind toward a new conception of the intense activity involved at all levels of consciousness on the planet to create conditions in which evolutionary growth can proceed. Indeed. The work of the planetary hierarchy, capital H, what is that? And of some of the responsible workers within the hierarchy is outlined in a way which brings everyday human life into focus as our outer expression of qualified purpose through the ashrams of the masters. What? The three departments of hierarchy form important planetary focal points of cosmic energy flow, each one imbued with purpose and responsible for an aspect of the plan of God. Which God? Let's define terms. The interrelationship and interaction of the many kingdoms and centers of consciousness are revealed as tending toward the complete integration and alignment of our planetary logos. This is very Gnostic stuff and Kabbalistic. Two sides of the same coin. I was hinting at... Anyway, there's more, but, you know, with the mention of Epiphany today, when I read the word theophany, by the way, I think of theosophy, which I don't think is far off the mark. You know, I was hinting at the Gnostic influence. So Epiphany, you can go to the Wikipedia entry, for example, and... Let's see, just a little bit on this. Etymology and original word usage. The word epiphany is from Koine Greek, meaning manifestation or appearance. It is derived from this particular verb, meaning to appear. In the Septuagint, the word is used of a manifestation of the God of Israel. Excuse me. In the New Testament, the word is used in 2 Timothy 1:10 to refer either to the birth of Christ or to his appearance after his resurrection, and five times to refer to his second coming. And then this, under history, Epiphany may have originated in the Greek-speaking eastern half of the Roman Empire as a feast to honor the baptism of Jesus. Around 200, Clement of Alexandria, beware Alexandria, by the way, wrote that, quote, but the followers of the early Christian Gnostic, parenthetic, this is a parenthetic addition to the quote, the early Christian Gnostic religious teacher, Basilides, celebrate the day of his baptism too, spending the previous night in readings, and they say it was in the 15th, it was the 15th of the month, Tibi of the 15th year of Tiberius Caesar. And some say that it was observed the 11th of the same month, end quote. The Egyptian dates given correspond to January 6 and 10. The Basilides, or what are they called? Basidilians, I think is what they're called. Anyway, it says the Basilides were a Gnostic sect. And so that hints at something that I think would be nuanced to the point of, you know, most people would miss it. If you follow the link to Basilides, his Wikipedia entry, you see right there on the side, part of a series of Gnosticism in the Abraxas symbol right there. And so the point being, in keeping with the spirit of Western esotericism, there is this effort to come alongside. This is why the Chosen is dangerous. This is why all of those things are dangerous. The effort is to come alongside and to say, yeah, we're just like you. And ironically, so-called Christians in America, this is why I say it's time for you to decide where you stand. Because if you are a Christian person and you genuinely believe, you know, that you operate based on faith in God and you trust Him alone above all others, to make yourself friendly is not necessarily a good thing. This attempt to commingle things is nothing new on the part of Gnosticism, the efforts of Gnosticism. That is historically not a new thing. This is a new version of it, though. It's working very effectively. Some folks are deeply concerned, and that's good. Little old ladies, I would say, and I mean that as a term of affection, making videos about the Chosen, for example, I'm deeply concerned, and you know, but most people are taking the bait, hook, line, and sinker. And so you'll want to choose sides clearly before you're confronted in an awkward moment. You'll want to know where you stand on things. And I think we're about to have our, you know, Sound of Music moment, so to speak. Anyway, hopefully that makes some kind of sense. There's a bunch of other stuff, you know, but this effort to come alongside and say we're the same, these things are indistinguishable. There are folks who call themselves Christians who have been walking the razor's edge, you might say, to the point that now they're indistinguishable from the rest of the world. And the moment is coming to say, well, you know, we're the same. We're the same anyway, so you know that all of that stuff in the Bible, let's just get rid of that. That people will start saying to these folks, you know, you should just get rid of that. If you can just get rid of that, we'll be friends. Because I mean, look, we're the same anyway. I'm an atheist, or I'm an agnostic, and I watch The Chosen. It's fun. I like it. So we can be friends. You just got to get rid of this stuff, and then we can be friends. And, you have the most unlikely quarters, just everything is collapsing in on itself, and, people not able or willing to have a spine and make a stand definitively for right and righteousness. You can see the slippery slope of the standards being eviscerated. It's coming. It's happening. I know this all probably sounds really esoteric and ethereal. I don't necessarily mean it to be. This isn't supposed to be a fear-mongering broadcast. Hopefully it makes sense to those with ears to hear, shall we say. Anyway, before we get back to the other thing, just to back up as a bit of perspective, before we get back to finishing the characteristics of an initiation ritual by Melissa Dykes, True Stream Media, April 21, 2020, this was right as the, you know, March 16th was the moment the New York Times published the article, the fear-mongering article, you know, the moment. It was the War of the Worlds kind of moment where the bogus data, bogus modeling data put out by, what's his name? Neil Ferguson. Neil Lockdown Ferguson. Professor Neil Lockdown Ferguson, I can't be bothered right now to, you know, be a part of this. I have to go visit my mistress. That guy. Never fear, though. All of the work that the Imperial College London represented, Bill Gates already had a another surrogate waiting in the wings in the IHME, which he created and installed Christopher Murray as head of it. Anyway, that was the moment. March 16th. And then a month later, Melissa Dykes does this video, Characteristics of an Initiation Ritual, which was foreboding and ominous. But now let's look back. So we're going to see what has happened. It's not just me. It's not just you. Glenn Beck, Mr. I Think the Chosen is fantastic. It's only Bible, whatever my kids watch, which is crazy. You know, did he ever renounce Mormonism? Not that I'm aware of. Anyway, so I guess it's not surprising. But what he says about what's going on in New York, which is emblematic of everywhere, and not just in America, everywhere that has a TV and an internet connection. Let's listen to what Glenn Beck describes before we get back to the other video. Go ahead, please.
I spent a lot of time just out with people in Texas, New York, Florida. I was in New York for about 3 or 4 days, New York City. Wow. Is that a different place? America is different. I sense something. She's different than she was 18 or 24 months ago. And I'm not going to outline all the political, you know, changes, our economy, the status with other countries, you know, looming war, et cetera, et cetera. I think most of us are aware of all of those things. You know, if you go to McDonald's, how many of us have driven through the drive-thru and you've gotten a couple of hamburgers and they give you the price and you're like, what? I think we know these changes. I want to discuss the changes that I felt in the last couple of weeks. New York is a shadow of its former self. And there's a real divide in New York that I have not felt before. New York is pretty much, they walk in lockstep. Now, I want to preface this with many times you see what you want to see. Or you have a sample size so small it's meaningless to pull anything out of it. But just go with me for a second. I have walked the streets of New York City for years, and to say the responses are a little bit negative may not surprise you. the award-winning insult a couple of weeks ago, I say it's award-winning because it really was. It had been boiled down to the essential insult and feeling. It required the least amount of effort, the fewest syllables. It was just somebody who saw me as I was walking on a crosswalk, and he passed me, and he looked at me, and he said, "Die." And I thought, okay, that's good. That's good. Okay.
That's a warm response from New York.
Very, very warm response.
Wow.
You know, and I did say to him, I am just probably not at the speed you're hoping. anyway, I had a multitude of these encounters, and they happen wherever I go to some degree or another. It's the positive comments that tended toward the unique this time around, at least for New Yorkers. If I'm walking down Broadway or a place where, you know, there's tourists, I usually, people will call out, "Glenn Beck," you know, or whatever, and they'll, "I love you." Outside of the tourist areas, that doesn't happen. And if you're outside of the tourist areas, the best response that I've ever gotten was, "Hey, don't look directly at me while I say this, but I'm a big fan of yours." Oh, this guy sucks over here, huh? I mean, that's the way you New Yorkers usually do it. It's all usually right. A whisper.
There's a small point. And we got to do a break. headed into a break. Come back, we'll finish this, and we'll get to the other thing. How did this happen? That's where we're headed back to. Stick around, we'll be right back.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
The fight for Speaker of the House seems to be the big news. I'm Peter Serafine with this week's Liberty Minute and a reminder to use code Lighthouse at ZStackLife.com to supercharge your immune system for flu season. For the first time in 100 years, the Speaker of the House vote has gone on for days. At the time of this recording, there have been 11 votes and still no Speaker elected. I think the fact that Kevin McCarthy has tried 11 times and has not even considered stepping aside, nothing but an indication of McCarthy's ego. It has been my experience that anyone who wants a job of power this badly is not the person we the people should want to have that job. I am glad this fight is happening. My opinion of several members of Congress has changed during this process, some for the better and some for the worse. Aside from politics, I would like to ask for your help again. My dear friend lost everything on December 30th when her apartment building was destroyed by fire. My friend Tashoy is starting the new year with absolutely nothing. If you are able, please help my friend through the GoFundMe link at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until next time, Sivus Pashem, Parabellum.
Hello, I'm Peter Serafine, and I'm the new host of National Intel Report on Thursdays here on Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm a gun-owning constitutionalist who believes that the only role of government is to protect my rights. I believe the First Amendment makes us free, and the Second Amendment keeps us free. If those ideas sound good to you, then join me in the National Intel Report, Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Republic Broadcasting Network.
Things are different. Things are different. Glenn Beck noticed in New York and Texas and Florida. So we're going to finish this real quick before we get back to how did this happen? So here's where we are. We can continue with that, please.
Never in a group until this time. I was approached by several self-identified, long-time, born-and-bred, die-hard liberal New Yorkers who shockingly, I was just like, you know there are people around you, right? Leaned in to a table or leaned into me and loudly say, you know, I'm not a conservative, and I used to make fun of you, or... You know, I used to think you were crazy, whatever, I hated you, but I get it now. This is nuts. I was like, what is happening? They didn't say that they were conservative. They just said they get it. They know that we've all been betrayed by those who have betrayed logic, reason, and decency. Now, in New York, I heard a change. In Texas and Florida, I heard from many conservatives and a change there. Many are now saying the same thing. I am done with the Republicans. And may I just say, can I get an amen? I am done with the Republicans. We've learned everything we ever needed to know with McConnell and Romney and the omnibus bill. That was a true betrayal of everyone who voted for them. And it's a betrayal of all the American people. Someday, I pray that there will be an accounting for all.
Yeah, okay. So the point of all of that is to say that even Glenn Beck notices things are different. And, you know, wow, is that a different place, he says of New York. The guy who has spent much time in New York. And this is representative of the rest of America and, you know, most of the world, let's say the Western world. What is happening? And is it an accident? Is it coincidental? Is it just some accidental thing due to happenstance? Or is something actually that has been planned and prepared for a long time happening? If you step back and you look around, you see it everywhere in culture, and there is a commingling of things, again, in sort of Gnostic fashion, low moral standards, the esoteric, the evisceration of lines and morality and boundaries and barriers and things like that, in an effort to make people much more malleable and suggestible and susceptible to evil, really, when it comes right down to it. If you're paying attention, you can feel it's a dark thing. And, you know, to borrow from Reagan, in a time for choosing, this is the last stand on earth. If we lose freedom here, there is no place to escape to. No one will come rescue us. I think we're knocking on the door of David Crowley's gray state. Been 10 years now. And, you know, that was another one of those warnings that we've forgotten. But I think we're knocking on that door. People are entirely hypnotized, by and large. How did we get here? When we come back from the next break, we'll continue and finish the characteristics of an initiation ritual by Melissa Dykes, True Stream Media. And again, that was April of 2020. And if you're paying attention, you're noticing what she is describing has had its effect, and it's all around us. And again, people are hypnotized. The hypnotized don't know they are. And so it's working. And it's terrifying to see when you understand that people are essentially effectively hypnotized. And then you see, like I said, the book deal, you know, Kirk Cameron doing these book deals, you know, and same thing. I mean, he thinks The Chosen is fantastic. Well, you know, you need to quit writing children's books and doing these book tours and dive back into your Bible, Kirk Cameron. That would be a good thing to do if you think The Chosen is fantastic. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Listen, news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself. Don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you. And in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Thank you.
Please remember, I still want you. And in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good light goodbye.
Talk about telling a story. Welcome back. So in Matthew chapter 10, verse 34, Jesus says, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." Whoa, that's interesting. And then, you know, what precedes that and what follows that is very provocative. I think I'll just leave it at that. So here we are. Things are markedly different than they were at the start of 2020. We're headed into 2023. How did we get here? Well, that is the subject of the video, Melissa Dyke's video over at True Stream Media, "The Characteristics of an Initiation Ritual." People are entirely hypnotized. By and large, how did we get here? It's a dangerous thing to see the psychology of crowds at work and to think, again, as Gustave Le Bon wrote, "The masses have never thirsted after truth." That's certainly true today. You know, on both sides of the political spectrum, for example, you know, Glenn Beck mentioned politics. Let's see, where did that go? This morning I see after we have the latest round of shenanigans. McCarthy loses bids number 7, 8, 9, and 10 for House Speaker. ABC News had a deal going this morning live. Kevin McCarthy, House Speaker vote, fourth day of votes after GOP Rep. McCarthy lost 11 ballots. A 12th round of voting for the Speaker of the House is expected to resume today. These are strange times. The psychology of crowds and the masses have never thirsted after truth. We are not. I mean, let's take an unvarnished look at where we're at right now. Who pursues truth above all else? Truly, not who says that under some specious guise, but who actually does it. The real Christians are probably mostly folks that you don't hear from, because these perilous times are, you know, the tumult is something that doesn't attract, you know, these kinds of people, so to speak. They're just out quietly getting things done. The image that comes to mind is kind of an Amish type of an image. They're just not involved in it. For everyone else, it's kind of fun. You know, I'm addicted to dopamine anyway. I'm a drug addict. It's just a natural one that my body produces. It's dopamine, so I'm a drug addict. And it's kind of fun, you know, to get in, to insert myself in the mix and be in the midst of the melee. Because, you know, I get a dopamine fix. It's kind of fun. One of the side, you know, the byproducts of social media and fun stuff like that, people are essentially heroin addicts and they don't even realize it. Why do you have to post? Again, speaking of adults who do weird things, physical adults, not necessarily mental, emotional, spiritual adults. So, you know, you think of Paul in 1 Corinthians 13, when as a child, you know, I spoke like a child. I understood as a child. I thought like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. So I keep thinking of, I have this picture in my mind of the political divide. People who are essentially the same, two sides of the same coin, and don't realize it, who say, and I knew this was the danger. You can see it because it's a formula, and it's outlined, for example, in Hayek's Road to Serfdom, which I described before the 2016 election, and here we are. What is happening now is much more ominous, but people have been primed and now they're hypnotized. It's having its perfect result, so to speak. So the spectrum is, and there's just endless fuel being poured on this fire, this inferno. Speaking of the vote for the House Speaker, the divide looks like this. You have people on both sides of, let's call it the Donald Trump divide. On one side, they say, we have to, by all means necessary and at all costs, get him and keep him in office, in power. We have to get him in and keep him there. And, you know, those like him. On the other side of the line, they say the exact same thing in the opposite. We have to, by all means necessary and at all costs, keep him out of office and out of power and everyone like him. They're saying the same thing. Are they pursuing truth? Are they even interested in truth? No. And I'm likely to be, you know, scapegoated and taken to the edge of town and stoned to death for saying it. Why? Because like Gustave Le Bon observed in The Crowd, A Study of the Popular Mind, the masses have never thirsted after truth. Whoever can supply them with illusions is easily their master. Whoever attempts to destroy their illusions is always their victim. So here we are. And I see this picture. You know, the insanity of what's going on is, you know, it's depicted in the Kirk Cameron thing. You know, the Fox News hyperventilating, among other hyperventilating, about story hour. Who's going to this? I mean, I understand it's a public, you know, whatever, but this is insane. You know, as a friend once put it, seatbelts. What do seatbelts have to do with all of this? You see the hypocrisy all around you and things like seatbelts. Well, you know, seatbelts save lives. It's not the seatbelt per se. It's the tyranny that says that I have to wear this thing or else, you know, I get in trouble from the nanny state. Well, we're just trying to save lives. We're just trying to protect people. Are we really? You're telling me in a society that wants to tax all of us to murder innocent unborn children wholesale, that society really is the standard bearer for protecting lives and saving lives? When we have ads on television, on every network, every day, run, you know, you have ads back to back on some channels, literally, where you have the, you know, the example of, you can go to classaction.com and see all the lawsuits where yesterday's Wonder Drug is today's class action lawsuit, which will become tomorrow's rebranded Wonder Drug. Well, we already ran this through the FDA. Can we just fast track this back through the FDA? Because, you know, we changed the name, so it's totally different. You can see on any given day on many different television networks one ad for, you know, whatever it is today, whatever wonder pill look, the paid actors are feeling great in Milgram experiment sort of fashion. It must be a good thing. And then right after that commercial, I've seen literally in cases where you have the new one that's rebranded, followed by the commercial, you know, the ambulance chasing class action folks are saying, if you or someone you love has been injured by the previous iteration of this drug, I've seen those back-to-back commercials. Here's the new one. Here's the commercial that follows it about the class action lawsuit against the previous name of the same drug. And this is happening in America, but somehow this society is the standard bearer of who, you know, trying to, you know, to honor the sanctity of life. Give me a break. Are we really that insane that we can't see that? It's mind-boggling. So to watch Kirk Cameron, you know, who is showing up at the libraries and story hour? The library has its roots in, you know, the Platonic university kind of system. This is the danger of these books and ideas. If you look at what I would call the Western esoteric canon, virtually everybody that is revered in Western literature, the reverence ties back to the Western esotericism. We don't need bigger libraries. We don't need more ideas. We need to get away from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and bowing before it, prostrating ourselves before it. I'm as guilty as anyone, so I am preaching to the choir, I'm sure, which includes myself. But, you know, seeing all of these people there, and Kirk Cameron is, you know, he looks a certain way. Reminds me of what's his name? Former CIA analyst, now I think Fox mainly commentator. He's a very, you know, Kirk Cameron, you look at how he was dressed there in his library tour, that's not by accident. Portraying a certain kind of image. And all of these people here and all the people on the other side of the issue, supposedly, this is a fomented controversy, and hypnotized NPCs are everywhere waiting to collide themselves against one another. That's what's going on. Don't do it. Do not do it. So, you know, my list of movies through the holiday season included Joe You Know Well. The slogan or the tagline was, without an enemy, there can be no war. I think there's wisdom in that. And we would be wise to observe the idea there, you know, without an enemy, there can be no war. Interesting what's happening. We need to finish this, or at least what we can, of this other video. Now we're headed into another break. Hopefully some of this is making sense. These are crazy times. Speaking of Kirk Cameron doing his tour, that's been going, sure, I guess, might as well. That's been going for weeks. We could talk about that. And, you know, again, I don't think that this is by accident. You know, if this kind of stuff is not supposed to be out in front of the public, it isn't. It's part of the fomented controversy and conflict. We shouldn't be falling for this kind of nonsense. Anyway, I guess we'll skip the break and we'll finish the video. Melissa Dykes, The Characteristics of an Initiation Ritual. Here you go. Go ahead, please.
Perceptions and experiences are ultimately overseen by the high priests and priestesses directing the ritual's performance. enabling new light to shine through a newly opened window of thought.
Every generation has a higher purpose. Ours is to stay home.
With nowhere else to go except where allowed, the insulated, isolated initiate may be forced to confront his or her own reflection and inner shadows that have been ignored or buried somewhere deep beneath the average day-to-day suddenly become unavoidable. Triggers detonated. Another purge. Just as they involve surrender, initiation rituals may also involve sacrifice. Both the tangible that can be held in a hand and the intangible, such as behaviors, may be given up by requirement.
We're forced to change our routines, lifestyles, and habits, and many will be desperate for life to go back.
After all, for something to be given, something must also be taken. A token of submission, an ounce of blood, a pound of clay to be remolded.
Society will undergo a radical transformation.
Whether dramatically overt or deceitfully subtle, the ritual reinterprets. A new definition given. Training in the form of new behaviors and knowledge, including myths and codes.
Our world is filled with codes, pacts, user agreements, subliminal messages.
Necessary for new members to function properly in the society they are being inducted into, are all imbued at this time. Repetition is typical, as its use helps hammer the spell home.
A new normal? A new normal. We have to accept a new normal.
The wearing of masks may be required. Masking has traditionally played an important role in rituals of this kind.
Meantime, New York City has joined Los Angeles, advising residents to cover their faces. Well, we've already seen a big jump in the number of people wearing masks.
Well, they've announced that anybody who is flying on the plane is going to be having to wear a mask. See here right behind me, about half the folks in line at this market basket right now are wearing masks.
Oh.
Today there was a mandate that went into effect across the entire country to wear a mask.
Enabling and hastening the suppression of ego to help facilitate a death of the old identity before the identification with and manifestation of a new one. Disguised under a mask and hidden away, the initiate is more easily able to transcend the self, pushed further toward that invisible line between the physical and spiritual realms.
The fear that we have, the anxiety that we have, that's not just going to go away.
Trauma is another aspect of this kind of initiation, and most especially to personalize the fear of death.
People are dying.
Sometimes the act of dying is even ceremonially role-played. The dark beyond the darkness. The yawning abyss.
Oh.
I thought I was going to die, and I've never been faced with death before.
Only after death is confronted can the initiate be symbolically resurrected, reborn anew.
To go to sleep in one world and wake up in another.
While the process that is playing out is quite coordinated and sophisticated in reality, it may be executed in a purposefully confusing manner.
Thanks for joining us. I know we're surrounded by uncertainty. It feels like everything is changing.
So that the goalposts seem to keep moving back and forth, up and down, here, now, there, rendering the initiate unable to find solid mental ground from which to make logical sense of anything. This disorientation is key. The uncertain timing generates a general anxiety, further removing the initiate from reality and leaving him or her more susceptible to a type of Pavlovian conditioning. This weakens the defenses just as a virus would, only this has the potential to break down the individual much more completely than a virus would.
I know we're surrounded by uncertainty.
Whatever the finer details, the previous way of life is shed like an old skin. At the end that comes before the beginning, the change begins. This is the second phase, the transition.
It's liminal time or liminal space. The word liminal literally means a threshold, that we're on a threshold of a new time, a new way of doing things in our society, that there's going to be some transformation.
As the old self symbolically dies and passes away, the initiate descends into a state of liminality, a sort of fever dream purgatory nowhere land, the void in the middle. Thus, the old self dies as the initiate is purified. Now, a white room. A blank canvas washed and primed and desperate for paint. A tabula rasa. At the same time his old existence and way of life dies, the initiate transcending it is gradually being processed, reprogrammed, and incorporated into his or her new environment.
Because this is going to be transformative. It is going to be transformative on a personal basis, on a social basis, on a systems basis. We're never going to be the same again.
Reformed, reconstituted, and rebirthed into the new world that awaits at the end of the tunnel.
As a society, beyond just this immediate situation, we should start looking forward to understand how this experience is going to change us, or how it should change us.
This is the final phase of the ritual, integration.
And everyone wants to know, is this the new reality?
Too early to say that we're looking at something closer to a reformation.
We're waking up to the new normal.
When do we get back to normal? I don't think we get back to normal.
This is an extraordinary time where we have to accept a new normal.
Society will undergo a radical transformation.
And if you're feeling alone, just remember, we are alone together.
Oh. And as a new normal descends, it can feel so solitary. And yet, we're all alone together.
Welcome back. Well, after the clip anyway, not from a break, but any of that ring a bell? That's what Melissa Dyke says to end the video. Speaking of what happened March 16, 2020, that was, again, the War of the Worlds Day, so to speak, when the New York Times published the article, you know, the bogus modeling, Neil Ferguson, Imperial College London, all that stuff that was later debunked as bogus. The following day, MIT Technology Review published Gideon Litchfield's article, March 17, 2020, we're not going back to normal. How did Gideon Litchfield know? How could he make that statement? Was this perhaps not some extemporaneous piece that he wrote real quick and just happened to publish the following day? Strange and perilous times. I hope it was informative. There's a piece, actually, if you're interested in this kind of stuff and you, I don't know, read this kind of stuff. Tracy Tubman wrote a piece at Ohio State University, Theater Magic, Aleister Crowley and the Rite of Eleusis, a dissertation. It's lengthy, but interesting. That'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope it was informative as always. It truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network.
Because you can handle the truth.